Welcome to Discover Joyous Love with Anita DeFrancesco as your host. This is a hybrid of topics under the subjects of mindfulness, sexuality, and relationships.
Hello, everyone, and we are on episode 37. The topic this time is the dating chase worth it? So I wanted to talk to you about dating and chasing, and who should do the chasing in a relationship. Why is it that men are labeled as the hunter and gatherer? Why are they the ones allowed to go out and chase the woman and it be okay? But when the woman wants to chase the man, it's not okay. It looks like she's obsessive or crazy or stalking. But when the man chases her, it's a known thing that men chase women. Well, guess what, folks? We are in a different stage, a different time. In the modern times, the woman or the man could do the chase, and it's okay. Stalking and obsession, codependency and neediness and addiction are just other factors that could be in the fabric of that person's psychological character. But that's a whole nother thing. But let's talk about why people chase each other, whether they've dated and they broke up and they start chasing again, or they're looking for that oxytocin high, that fill that makes them feel like they, you know, the novelty of each other has worn off, and so they want to have that newness again, that oxytocin fill, that it's the beginning. But you know, one thing I want to say as a tantra, my work is Tantra Wisdom. You're listening to Discover Joyous Love podcast. And I'm Anita DeFrancesco. And what I want to say is that when you learn to practice the sacred art of tantra, that whole chase thing doesn't really mean anything because it's objective to the soul. It doesn't make any sense. Basically, chasing is ego fulfillment. There could be some narcissism in there with people, but that's a lot of ego fulfillment. People need to fill their egos. I don't know if you've heard of an expression, chase him or her until they catch you. And that's true too, because sometimes it's a synergy that happens between two people. But actually, let's get to the point. What is chasing a man or woman? A lover, a beloved. Is it the first time you met someone and or you notice them, but you haven't dated yet and you're just friends and you show up where they are or you try to reach out to them for, you know, coffee dates and things of that sort, but it just doesn't seem to, you know, connect? Or maybe it does and that person likes the fact that they're being given the attention, so to speak. I mean, it's really about attention, and it's also about people keeping you hanging on a hook. Now, let's face it, men love it when women chase them. Whether they like her or not, they just love it because it makes them feel, you know, like they're worthy, like their self-esteem is great, like they're sexy, and all the women want them. So this fills their ego. They start to think that, wow, everyone wants me, all the women want me. And vice versa, women, when a man chases her, sometimes she feels annoyed or pressured or even in fear, because a lot of time men can come on strong to a woman, and a woman always has to be mindful about sexuality and things of that nature. But I think that when a woman is getting chased by a man, she kind of likes it only if she likes the man. But if she doesn't like him, then she's not into it. But a man does not have to be into the woman for the women to chase him. He just will continually soar in his ego, and he will continually just feed off of that energy. We're talking about, is the dating chase worth it on Discover Joyous Love? Hello, and we're talking about, again, is the dating chase worth it? Now, in some instances, dating can seem like it's an addiction. And so some men or women, they just chase everyone. They want to have that But a lot of time people do this because they're avoiding their emotions and feelings and the truth and commitment. So they feel by chasing or being chased that that is a relationship to them, because that's actually, they're feeding off of that. But it's not real. A lot of it has to do with, you know, padding the ego, so to speak. Now, let me talk to you about something new. The novelty wears off. Men submit to the natural impulse of the brain more frequently than others, and they retrain their brain to find something new. So this is some research that I have come up with that I've been researching online here, that they retrain their brain to find something new in the old. So the novelty wears off. The novelty of sex and love, and but if you practice Tantra wisdom, Tantra classes, that novelty never wears off. You start to relearn how to create the new, and you start to learn how to go deeper in your love, deeper in your relationship, learning how to appreciate each other as if it were the very beginning. You have to practice Tantra to understand what I'm saying. I've never really been into the chase. I do remember when I was very young in high school, we would like a boy and we would chase them, or they would chase us. But the man would only, like I said, the men would love when women chased them, whether he was into her or not. But the woman never liked it if the man chased her and she wasn't into him. So it's quite a difference there. And because it can be scary after a while. But depending on the degree of your chase, I mean, is it very flirtatious, casual, kind of fun and fluid? Or is it like aggressive and compulsive and I've got to have you, I got to be there? Or so, you know, there is fun in the chase, the flirting, like the flirtatiousness of it all. Wondering, the desire is natural to wonder. Whether you're in a committed relationship or not, or your relationship is sort of taking different levels and you're getting used to each other, wondering is a natural desire to have. And again, you can work and refine the natural desire that lives within you with your beloved that you've been with for a while through Tantra. So this is what I want to say. Learning the art of Tantra can bring you back to the beginning over and over again, as if you're making love for the first time. Yeah, the chase is exciting and challenging, and you know, it's kind of something that is more like a sport, I would say. It's more something that you can just, it's more the muscle rather than the tissue of the body. It's more the muscle, the more like you want to grab onto something, but really not. There's that part of you that just wants to stay free and be in limbo with that whole thing. Here's my question for you. Are you addicted to the dating chase? Now, some people get addicted to that stuff, and I don't mean heavy-duty addiction. I mean that this is becoming a patterned habit. You can call it an addiction, but I wouldn't really call it an addiction. I mean, people use that word so freely nowadays. Like, I mean, if you oversleep, you're addicted. If you eat, you know, more sugar than someone else, you're addicted. I mean, this is not addiction. This could be mild compulsion. It can also just be that, you're in a habit or a pattern. And habits and patterns not always are addictions. And they may look like that. So what we have to do is work them out through tantric breathing. Sometimes when you're in that dating chase and you're just kind of spinning the wheels and spinning around, you're missing out on what's actually in front of you. You're missing out on something that could be, because you're looking beyond and you're not paying attention to yourself. You're looking outside of yourself, because that means that there's a part of you that you don't love about yourself. And there's that part of you that is wanting to escape. Now, it's hard to get, and it's more desirable. So the hard to get, like chasing her, chasing him, they become more desirable. So your senses start to become, the oxytocin rises, your senses become alive and aggressive. But Is it really real? What happens when you do catch up to each other and you really become together with each other? Is that all there? Maybe that was the way of sex. Now, sex doesn't have to be with a partner. It doesn't have to be a masturbation, and it doesn't have to be physical. It can just be an action. And that is a sexual action of allowing your juices to flow. So when those juices flow, you're actually creating the high within. So basically, it's something for yourself that you're just, you know, like we do. We feed off of people. And that is the human nature. Psychological reasoning of the lure of the dating chase. So there's this lure that happens. It becomes more of a psychological thing rather than a feeling. So sometimes there are no feelings there when you are in the chase. And you're not really even knowing if it is something that you really want. And it may not even be a human being that you're having this pattern habit of chasing. It could be anything in your life. You might be the type that likes to chase a job down, chase different things in your career, or you want to run after things all the time rather than them being right there for you. And so part of it is being void of the present moment that we learn to live in. Because when we have the chases there, we're kind of holding on to things more in the past. After a while, the chase can get very boring, especially if you don't have a goal. If you don't have a goal with the chase, what is your goal? To get that person and be with them forever, or make love to them, and or like, oh, I got her, I got him, next. So is it really just a notch in your ego? It could be. Now, dating is a bit like gambling. You know, there's the rush, the risk, the push, and the pull. So you always have, whether you chase each other down, you just meet someone and call them a few times, next thing you know it, you're dating. But there's always that thing that women like to play hard to get in the beginning. That's just a known thing, that a woman likes to play hard to get and a man likes to chase. But that's changing these days. It seems like the men play hard to get now, and the woman does the chase. So it is a bit like gambling. And the rush is there, the risk is there, the push, the pull. Chasing is a high associated with the thrill of the chase. So it's a high associated with the thrill of it. So not necessarily is chasing the thing. It is just the high that you're feeling that you want. But is it a high? Start to reflect on that. Notice what you're doing. And then once you know that you can have the person, do you sort of like feel let down because the chase is gone and you feel like there's nothing left to conquer? So these are some of the things that we want to look at and start to figure out what it is that we really want in a relationship. Sometimes a dating chase validates self-worth, self-esteem, through the partner. If that partner is somebody, you know, high substantial, high status in life, he or she, and you know, they're better than you, they have more money, more better looks, better built, a better career, and the fact that you're chasing them and they, you know, this validation happens, that makes you feel a little bit stronger about yourself, a little bit more self-confidence. So attempting to date someone that's better. But what happens when you really get to that point? Does it really manifest? Are you desirable enough, smart enough, sexy enough? Landing this ideal partner is proof that you are sexy enough, smart enough. So basically, it's just a way of you building your confidence, but it's all false because you may not even like the person in a real intimate sense. There may not be any real chemistry there. You have to look at that too. So addicted to the chase simply because not being ready to settle in a committed relationship. So what we want to do is learn how to get this chase out of our system, because not necessarily, I mean, yeah, having this chase and running around, spinning the wheels, is a way of just being non-committal sometimes, but avoiding your own feelings, your own emotions. So what we want to do is break that cycle, you know, get that out of the system. And how do we do that? You're listening to Discover Joyous Love with Anita DeFrancesco. So why do we chase people that don't want us? Now, we need to look at the behavior and to get in touch with the actual, real, innocent emotion that is propelling you to want to chase someone who doesn't want you. The psychology of the romantic obsession. Now, there's the fairy tale. There's also the hope and the escape. So looking at those three factors, the fairy tale, something that people don't believe that they can have in life for real, because fairy tale is very like a fairy tale in a movie or theatrical. People just don't believe that there is value in the fairy tale, but the fairy tale does exist. And whatever the fairy tale is for you, we create that. But that is what people are looking for, hope. Hope about something else in their emotional distraction that's causing them to reach out to feed off of another human being that's not even interested in them. They're romantically obsessed. So they're looking for, there's some kind of hope of belonging, some kind of hope of being loved, accepted. Then there's the escape from the reality of life, the reality of your feelings, of who you are, what you are, what you present yourself to be in life. So those three factors play a role in this part of you that chases when it becomes a romantic obsession. So a lot of time too, someone doesn't want to admit that they fear rejection. So if they continue to chase, they don't have to face rejection, because if they went and met the person or had a normal conversation and the person said, hey, I don't want to date you, I'm not interested, that's rejection. But continuing the chase keeps that fear of rejection avoidant. And this is not admitting your feelings, not facing your feelings. And there's a lot of other pain behind that. And it's a pattern. So what I want to teach you how to do is to understand why you struggle in this. And why are we struggling in the romantic obsession, or in the, what they would say, the addictive chase, or I would just say it's habitual patterns that lead you to be triggered in this way when someone comes along in your life that you may not have had the proper love growing up, and they represent a lot of that love that is lost. And that's one reason, but we want to find some closure to this nonsensical behavior. And what can happen is we encourage to forgive the self for being in the indulging way. So what one of the goals is to learn how to forgive yourself and know that it's okay that you're living in this kind of pattern in your life, but you can be helped. And if it's really just a game between you and a lover and it's just for the fun, you can work tantrically to become better at keeping that newness alive without doing that chase. Let's talk about cognitive dissonance, the agony of psychological tension. And what that is, cognitive dissonance, is it's a psychological discomfort that we experience, that a person could experience who holds two or more contradictory beliefs, ideas, values. And says Festinger, this was an article that I'm reading from someone by the name of Festinger, 1957. When present, dissonance makes it extremely difficult to focus on anything but the cause of the tension and a means to reduce it. So what happens is that the person doesn't know how to be present. Now, when you take Tantra and spirituality classes, you learn how to get into your higher power. You learn how to let go of transference. You learn how to get in touch with the feelings, to be in the present moment and not live in the past or the future. So the present is really what Eckhart Tolle talks about, a lot of being in the present moment. So you might want to check out some of his work. But this is really a challenge because a lot of people don't understand what it is to, or how do you get there? Well, you have to really tap in and get into these emotions and get into different types of exercises such as breathing, dance movement, tantra. In the context of relationships, we experience dissonance when we try to reconcile the mixed signals. Behavior that indicates a person likes us compared with behavior they don't. So you constantly go back and forth in your head with this kind of thing. A classic example would be that you both hit it off well, you're hot and bothered for each other, and then the other person pulls away unexpectedly cold. The opposing signs cause us an uncomfortable psychological feeling that we seek to reduce. So here are some of the ways that you can, methods that you can help yourself is to change your belief, decide that they don't like you, and move on. That is what you need to do. That is one of the most profound is to talk to yourself and changing your belief. Obtain new information, by acquiring some knowledge that says you're in one direction. And then reduce the importance of the scenario, not dwelling, not ruminating, and instead choosing to focus on other parts of your life. So the first reality that you need to come to is that, hey, I'm going to change my belief. This is because we start to ruminate and have, again, this fantasy and this belief, and it's a false belief. It's pseudo. So working with your own present moment to help yourself, to move on from all of this. Then there's the dopamine high. Now, the dopamine high is kind of, you can get a dopamine high in many other ways in your career. If you're really successful and there's a lot of competition, running, being in these triathlons and sports is a real dopamine charge. So there's many ways to find the dopamine charge in your life rather than chasing a beloved that really isn't interested in you and where you're causing and creating more pain to your own emotional self. You're self-sabotaging yourself. You're not paying attention. So the dopamine chase, you can accomplish that in many ways out there. And let's talk about limerence, an obsession with reciprocation. Now, someone by the name of Dorothy Tenov, in her book, Love and Limerence, she says that the experience of being in love, and she defined limerence as the cognitive and emotional state of being infatuated or obsessed with another person. Now, you have to know there's a difference between infatuation and obsession, and that it's typically experienced involuntarily and characterized by desire for reciprocation of one's feelings. So you're waiting and wanting that person to respond, to react, and this is you're waiting for that reciprocation, and which may never happen because you're romantically obsessed with someone. So how do you separate limerence from love and infatuation? There are four vital signs to look for in yourself. You find yourself continually thinking about the person and unable to focus on the daily activities without seeing the relevance to them. Your primary desire is for the reciprocation of feelings, rather a sexual relationship or intimacy. So you have to come back to your own feelings. Are you really looking for this person to just come in and soothe your feelings when really, they're not really interested in that? You have to find ways to help yourself. Your focus is on winning the person over rather than their happiness or welfare. And there goes your ego stepping in. You're compulsively reading into the person's behaviors and drawing conclusions. Example, examining text length and frequency extensively. So it's, again, an escape, a falseness, a pseudo kind of behavior you create within yourself, out of yourself, because you're avoiding yourself. So as Tenov, she was a psychologist, Dorothy Tenov, in her book, Love and Limerence, she says that those with limerence will refuse to take no for an answer. Almost nothing done by the subject of the fantasy will discourage a limerent from their pursuit. Every perceived obstacle or rejection is reframed as a challenge to overcome. So is this your big challenge in life? Maybe you need to focus on a career, get involved in some type of sport or some kind of groups and things that where you can find competition in your life and things that would fill the needs that the voidance, the emptiness that you have inside. So you're listening to Discover Joy's Love, Anita DeFrancesco, and this is episode 37, and our topic today is the dating chase worth it? It all depends what you're doing it for and where you are in your emotional state. Okay, so I think that this is where I'm going to leave us off, folks, with this topic. It's involved, but what I can say is you either chase the person or they chase you until they get you. But do you need the chase? Check out my work, tantrawisdom.com. I wrote a book called Live Free. It'll show you how to live fluidly, freely, without all of this struggle and tension that makes us live in pain and exist in pain. There's no need to exist in pain. I'm also the author of a true crime book, the DonnaGentileStory.com. And that is something you can also find that book on Amazon. But check me out on Facebook and all of the other social medias there. Thank you for tuning in to Discover Joyous Love.